William Morrow and Harper Audio present A Beach Wish, a novel by Shelley Noble, performed by Vanessa Johansson. Prologue. Zoe Bascom graduated in marketing because, according to her family, she'd never make a real career out of music. What they'd meant was that she wouldn't climb a corporate ladder with hard work and smart investments, the only success they understood. But what she heard was, you don't have the talent to be a rock star. She didn't want to be a rock star. She didn't want to be any kind of star. She wanted to write music. She'd studied piano, all well-heeled girls did, and tried her hand at composing. She even received a guitar one Christmas from her brother, Chris. But when it came to audition for Juilliard, she'd choked. She aced the entrance exam to Wharton, so. After graduation, she landed a job at Max 4, a cutting-edge New York music event organizer that put her close to music as she tackled exposure, marketing, and physical. Arranged transport for temperamental VIPs, synced schedules, and herded staff members with less interest and ambition than her, hoping, praying, that somehow the climb up this corporate ladder would lead her to what she actually loved, music. And then she was downsized. One day she was everybody's darling, the most requested project manager, the most indefatigable worker, the best packer. She never arrived anywhere with a wrinkle. Then, due to a restructuring of the company, it isn't your fault, she was assured by her superiors, all long-haired, jean-wearing corporate types. We hate to see you go, but seniority, you'll land on your feet. Hang in. Good luck. There were tears, not hers. She just gathered up her personal items and left, no closer to music than when she'd been doodling in the margins of her marketing strategy textbook, as she sat in class on the Wharton campus. She spent 3 months looking for jobs by day and writing music and going to clubs by night. It didn't take that long to know she couldn't afford to keep her apartment, so leaving a month's rent with her two roommates, she returned home to live in her old room with her mother as her only companion. Home. That day, home seemed like a failure, and family, like a revolving door of VIPs, was just a bunch of people to make happy and all too ready to complain about how you were doing your job. Or they would have been if she hadn't walked into the kitchen 3 days later to find her mother dead on the floor. A blood clot, they said. Jenny Bascom had been living on borrowed time, had known she was, and like the consummate organizer she was, she had planned her own funeral, or in Jenny's case, the lack thereof. She wanted her ashes spread on Windchime Beach, a place none of her family had ever heard of. She'd left it to Zoe to arrange transport. Chapter 1. Zoe Bascom shot both hands through her hair, leaving it in short, dark spikes. I don't know why they're all angry at me. She looked back at the porch steps, where her family stood framed by her mother's perennial border. Her two eldest brothers, Errol and Robert, tall and blondish like their father, though Errol's hairline was beginning to recede. Their wives, suitably thin and coiffured. Their several children fidgety with that glazed eye look that said they'd been away from their iPhones too long. There was also an aunt and two uncles on her father's side. No father, he had left them years ago for his new secretary. And her mother's attorney, the one person who looked back sympathetically at Zoe where she stood by the door of her SUV. They were still in a state of angry denial. Zoe was, too. Her youngest brother, Chris, also blonde, the most handsome of the three and her only ally, opened the driver's door.
You better get going if you want to miss rush hour.
Zoe tried to smile. It's always rush hour on Long Island. It'll be a
sample complete. Ready to continue?